Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, a show that transforms how you think by renewing your mind and bringing you conversations from leaders who are doing it differently. Today, I have with me Jonathan D. Reynolds, and the D is for extra daring, although he can correct me on that later, but he is the CEO of Titus Talent Strategies. As the CEO, he is a visionary entrepreneur and a game changer. He's energized by inspiring company leaders and equipping them with unique approaches to better understand their people, foster organizational alignment, and create optimum performance among their team members. His fun stories and British accent will draw you in, as you're about to hear, while his cutting-edge ideas and practical strategies will leave you empowered to implement change. He is the best-selling author of Right Seats, Right People, A Leader's Guide to Hiring and Developing Top Talent. I highly recommend it. And currently leads a unique team of talent consultants that has been on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest-growing companies for 4 years in a row. And that's no small feat. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kenny. It's good to be here. Thanks to everyone who's listening. It's a privilege to be here with you today.
Absolutely. So, Jonathan, tell me, what has been on your mind lately?
Oh, that's a dangerous question.
It is.
It's funny you just said we are renewing our minds. You were saying, I was thinking, as you said that word renew, like kind of re-meaning to do it again, like to make it new again. We get so much head trash flutter that comes our way every single day, whether it be, you know, frustration because your dreams aren't reality where you thought they would be, or it's comparison to other people, or the criticism of the other people. This week, man, I found myself waking up a couple of times like weird fears that I'd never had before. I'm like, gee, is someone going to out to stab me in the back? Like, what's that? Like, where the heck is that coming from? Like, seriously, I'm like, I had no reason. There was no valid reason for me to wake up thinking that, and zero facts for it. There was no story behind it even. It was just like, where did that come from? And it just kind of completely messed with my head for a split second. And I'm like, I got to renew my mind. I got to make it new again, because that is trash that is not going to carry through the day. I'm not taking it. Otherwise, we see through that lens and the filter system, it comes. We don't know why we're communicating to people a certain way. Well, I'm communicating because I'm paranoid. Well, why are you paranoid? I don't know. Wow, you know? So, or, you know, somebody's criticizing you or something, and then suddenly we start, you know, I found myself on eggshells with, in a particular situation. I'm like, why am I being all tiptoeing around this thing? Like, I don't need to. I need to be confident and secure in where I'm at in my position on this thing, and not tiptoe around it. Speak with clarity and lead well. So, anyway, you asked me a simple question that kind of fill up and throw up on you, but there's a lot going on. I think it's probably as we wrap up the end of the year, and when we're recording this a couple of days before Christmas, so loads going in to the end of the new year. You always have these fantasies of like, oh, it's gonna be great, we're gonna have the holidays and take a nice time off, but reality is, for many of us business owners and leaders, we're like scrambling to get everything aligned, you know, getting the next year annual planning done, and obviously there's lots of changes because changes to everything, you know, and so we're planning all of that stuff, and they go, who the frick is going to be making all of these changes, who's going to be working on these PowerPoint decks to communicate? And I'm like, oh, slip, I'm not going to get any time off, am I? and then I'm irritated, and I'm communicating out irritation. But I think probably the biggest thing for me is just becoming more self-aware. What's going on in here? My kind of the head and the heart, what's going on between these sort of 18-inch different journey here, the back and forth talk and conversation, internal conversation with myself, becoming more and more aware so that I can actually be a better filter of what's going on in me so it doesn't come out and I end up leading people poorly. So that's a lot.
That's really intriguing. So what, as you're processing that and you're spot on, you know, end of the year, you know, a lot of people are, trying to do their annual planning. Everybody who sells productivity tools is selling something about journaling and reflection and things like that. And I think those are good. I don't mean to say that necessarily mockingly, but, At the same time, it's almost like you're getting your to-do list loaded up with all these reflective things, and they're sort of counterbalancing each other. As you've, you know, sort of, it sounds like you've been gaining an awareness of those contrasting ideas here towards the end of the year. What have you noticed in terms of like current thinking? Like, what's the prevailing wisdom about being productive, being reflective, being self-aware, especially in these natural transition points, like the end of a quarter, end of a year, end of a month, like everything collides sort of at the in December. What, as you've been in business, have you seen be the general wisdom most people are going with?
Well, I don't know if I'm, I always start this. I don't know if I'm answering your question how you would expect, or if I'm even answering the question. But I spend a lot of my time in kind of a few years out in my mind. You know, like where is the business going to be in a few years' time? Where do I want it to be? What would make me really happy? And trying to write that down and bring clarity to it. But because I spend a lot of my time there, I can live in the place of frustration, or maybe even a lack of just pausing, reflecting, and gratitude for all of the great things that are going on, so that I can come in and, you know, I'll give you a prime example. So I sat with a group of our senior leaders yesterday for part of our annual planning. And here I am in this kind of, well, we're not there. We're not in the future yet. So it's not good. You know, it's a future vision is where we're going. And I'm like, yeah, but we're not there yet. And so I'm in this kind of mode of like, man, we've got to do a lot to get that, haven't we? You know, and I've got this kind of like grit face on of we're on this journey and we need to load up with all of our supplies so that we can get there. But we just got some, we just got to beyond where we thought we were going to be 3 years ago. So when are we pausing to celebrate? When are we pausing to say, well done? When are we pausing to say, you did this, you did this, you did this, and it's all amazing things. You helped us get here, and here's the contribution that you made. And I think to pause, I think, yeah, it probably is visionary leaders who spend their time in, or futuristic people, I should probably say, like they have big dreams and vision of what the future, desired future looks like. I think that tension of celebrating the present of the good that is going on, and then painting the desirable future, which is inspirational to people and aspirational, I guess, as well. But without communicating the disparity between the two, it's frustration. Because that, I mean, I can live in that place of, oh, we're not there yet. It's almost like parenting. Like, can you just grow up? You know, like, grow up from what? Like, can you stop acting like a 10-year-old? Like, well, I'm 10. Well, my goal is to raise you to be a great human being in society. I'm like I'm like, it's like, yeah, but I'm only 10. Like, I'm like, well, you need to start thinking about what job you're going to have. You know, like,
what's your legacy going to be?
Horrible like, feeling.
I just want to do my times table as well, Dad. Like, where do you think that comes from?
But it's like, though? What are, you know,
like that, because so many people who fall into the category of leaders, it tends to be slapped as a visionary. And I think there's probably good reason for that, and visionary or futuristic minded. Where does that come from? Because I know personally I'm given to that as well, to where I just see this big, beautiful future always, but I'm not celebrating the gain. I'm more concerned about the gap. Where does that come from, in your opinion and your experience?
So I was listening to somebody speak the other day, and they were talking about DISC, the personality profile, and they were saying, they said, just the high D, which is kind of that high drive, high autonomy, you know, typically more visionary, futuristic type people. The population of the United States, only 10% are in that population. And I'm like, wow, okay. Which I thought was an interesting stat. I assumed that they said, what percent do you think each of the four kind of areas are? And I just assumed it was 25% in each. I'm like, you know, they're like, absolutely not. It's like only 10% are in that high D. And I was like, oh, that's pretty wild. So I think, you know, recognizing that there is something kind of like God given to each one of us, the personality of how we've been created and wired and motivated. So I think, you know, I come from a creation worldview. I believe that each one of us were created uniquely and gifted uniquely. And so I think, you know, that's where I would first and foremost come from. How that outworks in day-to-day life, I mean, I think there's probably a nurture side to it as well. My parents are big change the world visionary futurists. It's wild the kind of notes I get from my parents who are close to 80 years old of how they're still like frustrated today because of things that are outside of their control have thwarted their world changing plans, but they're still committed to going and changing the world. I'm like, literally, they're like nation changers. Like, and I'm like, golly, these are, they're wild. And so that was part of my kind of upbringing. And it's probably, you know, part of my internal struggles as well. Like, wow, it's always got to be more. Mm-hmm. It's always got to be more. It's always, how big are you going to make this thing? And I kind of, I'm in therapy for it now. So that's good.
Which is healthy. So does it feel a bit, because I've gotten, you know, I think that, I forgot who I was talking to, but said, you know, if you call yourself a leader, but you turn around and no one's following you, you're just on for a walk. But I do think that for those of us who, whether through position or influence or other means, have followers and we're put in a position or a category of leader, and we are looking at the future, and it's always, you know, bigger, more. I've actually had people tell me it feels like it's never good enough. It feels like it's never going to be enough, and that I'm not enough, right? So that's sort of the dark side of seeing this big, beautiful future, and it's always out there. It's always just a little bit further. It's always around the corner. With that, how does that, I mean, inherently that sounds unproductive and negative, but how can people start to recognize that or gain the self-awareness that you are starting to walk into to where you say, oh yeah, I was talking to my senior leaders and I kept saying like, yeah, there's a lot to do. There's more. We need to go further. I see now things that have opened up that I didn't see 3 years ago versus celebrating. Holy cow. Like we came this far in 3 years. We thought that this was like a pipe dream. So how do they gain self-awareness? So it's not, so they mitigate that destructive side of seeing the future.
It's interesting. I think of even in my own personal life, my family, I'm not really that great on traditions. Like what are your family traditions and rhythms, rituals that you have in your family? I think, oh, I don't know. Do I have any, you know, but I think a lot more about the business. What are our rhythms and rituals that people know and come to expect? One of them is celebration. Like we have to, when we put a quantifiable goal in place, we've got to pause. We've got to bake in time to celebrate it.
Okay.
Like in the same way, I would say, hey, Kenny, I'm going to hire you to do this job. And you go, great. But what are you going to pay me? You know, how am I going to get real compensated for this job? You know, and we go, oh, okay, this job is worth this much, so I'm going to pay you this much. And if you do it in this amount of time, I might give you a bonus. You know, like, okay, cool. So we've really clearly said what that thing is. Well, however long the time it takes to complete that thing, I need to budget, right? So I'm going to allocate, I'm going to pay you over time, or I'm going to pay at the end. I better have the money to pay for it at the end, if that's what I've said I'm going to do. In the same way we think about the reward piece, I think there is this other piece called celebration that we need to start budgeting for. Of course, how am I going to celebrate this thing together? Because if we don't pause to celebrate, it can always feel like, well, when that would just full summit. You know, when you go for a hike and you kind of climb a mountain, you got that full summit piece where you're like, oh my gosh, we're here. And you get to the top and you see the peak. The whole time you've been seeing the peak for half a mile, and we get there and we realize it's not even the freaking top. There's another summit. Yeah. No, you know? And I recognize this recently, and we had this, we needed a bunch of business to keep our people busy. Now we had a slowdown a few months back, and it was kind of like caught us off guard a little bit. I'm like, oh man, we need a race to this. And so put the number out there, and we're all racing. We were communicating via email. It was great. It was rah, rah. Like, I got another one. And everyone was just cheering it on. And then we hit the number, and then somebody writes in like, bah. And so then they increase the number. They're like, bah, let's keep going. And that wasn't me. So they're like, what if we went to this number? And everyone's like, you know. And so it happened like two or three times. And then I'm like, I think we've got to stop. Like, not stop growing, but stop this whole, let's just keep increasing the number. Because we'll never, So we go, yay, we did it. Let's go for another one. Yay, we did it. Like, how do you put an end to it? And I was genuinely concerned that if we allowed that communication to keep going, it would just be an email. Yeah. It was a big chain of people on an email. That people would just feel like there is never an end, is there? You know? And so I said, all right, we're gonna end this thing on this date. I totally believe that we'll blow past it. Everyone's going to keep working through the end of the year. I just want everyone to know that there will be a time where we get to celebrate, and there will be a time where it's part of our celebration is rest for the holidays. And so it was really funny. So I sent this in an email to everybody, all of these any leaders in the company. And we got to that number, you know, goes, all right, today we're celebrating. And then this email chain kept going, and people go, oh, we push a little bit more. And I'm like, there's some people who just kept wanting to keep wanting to push. And I was like, I just said no more, you know. And so I'm like, had to really put the brakes on, because I know that there are a group of people that could find that really exhausting and demotivating, even though they love growing. But we're not. I think that's with growth-minded people, because there's always more. Like, we're there, but we're not there yet, you know. And so I think just being really conscious of different personality profiles, different motivational wirings, and you're trying to speak to all of them. Like, you've got 10% high D. Like, what does that look like? 20% high I, you know. Wow, I've actually got to communicate to all of these people, and I can't neglect the fact that they're all different, and I can't neglect the fact that we all have the same need for celebration. They might want to celebrate in different ways, like, let me celebrate on my own in my own little corner in the dark, or versus somebody who works in a big old party. So I think we have to celebrate by leaving me alone, please, you know. But I have been conscious of that, just coming near the end of another great year of growth for us at Titus, to actually pause and celebrate. Otherwise, because we're just going to keep growing. Part of our DNA is uncomfortable commitment to growth.
Right. Well, I love that, uncomfortable commitment. I like making people uncomfortable, mostly just awkward. But I love that uncomfortable commitment. You said a phrase that's sticking with me, which is budget for celebration. And I don't think you mean like, well, we've got to give a budget to the party planning committee. I was just watching the Office with my wife this week, and they had the party planning committee and the committee to plan parties, and they were contrasted and they needed a budget. But what has that started to mean for you and Titus as you keep growing? Because obviously, I mean, the Inc. 5000 has some pretty, you know, strict requirements in terms of not just total growth, but like how fast you're doing it, right? So you are moving at a probably an uncomfortable pace for a lot of people. How are you going about budgeting celebration from the outset, or how are you starting to think about that, recognizing you've got some people who will just keep driving, but they may drive other team members to exhaustion?
Well, okay, so full transparency. Sometimes my ideas come out in a conversation like this. When I said budgeting for celebration, it was a note to my own self, like, yes, we need to do that more. So I've thought of, since sitting here while you were just talking, I'm like, when we're done here, I'm going to, how am I going to communicate this to my chief second in command, president, CFO?
You're hearing it here first, people. This is where the idea was birthed.
Yeah. It was, and it was, it's really important. How am I going to communicate this? I'm going to put it in an email, because if I say budget for celebration, he's going to think finances, and that's not what I mean. It's actually, what are those things that we're going to do when we hit certain mile markers and celebratory goals? How will we celebrate? In time, in communication, in reward, how are we going to do that? That really touches the intrinsic motivator of each of our unique profiles of people. So anyway, that's what I'm going to do. When I hang up from here, I've got a short few minute window, and I'm going to stick it on a video so I can communicate it in voice like I'm doing right now. And it will be just that, like, hey, we need to think about this. And what I would propose is that we look at the entire calendar year and say, okay, what's going on next year? Obviously, we break things down into months, weeks, months, quarters, and annuals. Sure. Totally. Are there things, if we hit those numbers, how are we going to celebrate each point, each summit? Because they're all false summits.
Right.
They're all false summits. We're all going towards that thing, and then we realize there's another peak ahead. And so, like, there's a recognition that we live in false summitville if we're growing companies. So, but then to put those things down and just, okay, how are we going to do that? We have an anniversary coming up as a company. So how are we going to celebrate that anniversary? And I think sometimes we just race really fast and we're like, ooh, you know, and it's the pause to get clarity and to around celebration. I think that's what
I'll be really interested to hear what you come up with as somebody who has struggled my entire life to really pause and celebrate. I'm the same as you on like family traditions, things like that. I tried to start one where we would like watch all of the Harry Potter films live going up to Christmas or something. We had nothing that fell apart after the first year. So I'll try something else. But having that baked in, something, you know, I was talking about productivity tools. One of the ones I'm looking at is the Michael Hyatt's Full Focus Planner. And I think I remember on one of the sheets, I think it was for goals, is how will you celebrate? Like, what is your reward at the end of this? Which was, when I read that, I don't know. So now I'm starting to think of my goals for the coming year. I may even ring up, Ben, who's the, co-founder of A System and Soul. One of the things we have are bets, and we have objectives, and we have all these questions that we answer for every 90 days. What are we going to do? Maybe I could submit for a modification that we add, in addition to 30, 60 day milestones. How might we celebrate? Because I think that that'll be important and probably plagues, highly driven, that 10%, those highly driven individuals, they're always on to the next summit. So I think that's very intriguing. And maybe even outside of, maybe you could come back on a subsequent episode and share with it. But either way, I'd love to hear that because I struggle with it.
I think there may be as well, when you've got a kind of a high drive leader, when you hit that false summit, and I think the word false, it can have obviously very negative in this kind of thing, but false, like there is going to always be these false summits. You hit the peak and then you realize there's another one to hit because that's what we want to do. To say to this high drive leader, once you hit that false summit, can we sit down and have a rest and have a drink and just pause and enjoy the view and celebrate? Like, to say that to that high drive leader could be intimidating to some people. Because it sounds like you don't want to grow anymore. It sounds like you're not a committed person to the growth of the company. You know, in our manifesto, it's an uncomfortable commitment, a wholehearted commitment to uncomfortable growth. Mm-hmm. It's in our kind of manifesto. A wholehearted commitment to uncomfortable growth. Now, because that's in writing and I wrote it, it could be intimidating for somebody to say, excuse me, can we rest and pause and celebrate and look around and enjoy the view? Because Jonathan clearly wants to keep going. So you're gonna cut across me, who's we're our big bulldozer. And so I think being self-aware enough to go like, let's raise our hands here, let's just pause and celebrate. Everyone wants to support and celebrate. So for the big high drive visionary leader to actually say it and put it in your calendar and actually plan it out. If you don't plan it, nothing happen. It's going to be such a relief from people, and people want to be, they need to be appreciated for their contribution to the journey. So we actually just did this last week. It was we call it Cheers to the Team. We've done it for 3-4 years now. And at the end of the year, right before the holidays, we're 100% remote company in 25 plus states. And so we live on Zoom, sucks, but that's how we've grown our company. So we grab a glass, favorite bevy, and we spend a couple of hours together. And literally it's a slideshow where every single person in the company gets acknowledged for accomplishments that they've done in the past year. Because it's long. I mean, it was like, I'm like, golly, this has been so long. It's like the Oscars. But you don't go, well, can you just hurry up, please? You know, because it is important that everyone gets acknowledged and hears their name and hears what they contributed. Yeah. It's kind of like they used to do all of the credits for the movie at the beginning. Remember that? Remember when we were growing up, the credits were all at the front, and you're like, I'm not ever going to celebrate them before they've done anything. You know, I haven't even seen the movie. I haven't seen the movie yet. It was the point. Yeah. And then, you know, and then obviously they got moved to the end of the movie. But do we pause to actually stay all the way to the end of the credits? You've got those people who watch the Marvel movies, like, stay to the end, stay to the end. There's going to be more. but actually pausing to actually acknowledge and recognize the great work mm-hmm. that people did. I think it's really important. I think it's really important. And I forget it when I'm in my high drive
mode. Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I love that. That sounds like a blast, even if it's a long slideshow. Definitely see where everybody would be anxiously waiting to hear their name and how they contributed. What is something, so if that high drive leader is, you know, listening right now, and you started off the call by talking about self-awareness that sort of led to this discovery, this recognition, there's a bit of a pattern interrupt that has to happen, right? When you're in high drive, especially like you're a high drive person, but then you're in your high drive business mode. What advice would you give to somebody that they could take action on in the next 24 hours to interrupt that pattern and start thinking about celebration, even if it's maybe just for their own accomplishments, let alone somebody else's?
I would just jolt yourself into go mode on it and use your superpower of always moving and actually pause and be like, if I could celebrate one person and acknowledge them privately or publicly right now, who comes to mind in your own company or outside your company? Okay. Like in your realm of responsibility, who can you just pause, and just say, hey, this is the impact that you've made on me personally in our role this year. Thank you. I wouldn't be where I'm at today without you. I think it's better to give than receive. And when you give that way, you actually gain back. There's something that happens in you psychologically, emotionally, mentally. It's going to be like, that felt really good to acknowledge that person. And it meant so much to them. It now becomes more meaningful to me, and it reminds me of just the psychology of gratitude. So I think that's one way of doing it. You can actually come up, we can come up with these elaborate plans, like, oh, I'm gonna budget for a celebration and come up with a big old plan. And to your point, Kenny, you said, listen, we tried to start this family traditions and it lasted 1 year. You know, so it's like you come up with a big plan and you only do 10% of the plan, but then we get caught up on something else. So I would say, don't make it too much of a big plan. Just start doing it. It's like if I went from like no working out whatsoever to writing out my 12-month plan of how I'm going to work out every day, you know, it's been like, you probably should just get down to the gym and go for a walk. Don't even become a member of a gym. Why don't you just get off your butt and go for a walk? And if you can do that, then go do it tomorrow. How about that? We should start there, you know. I'm such an extreme person. I come up with all these big old plans, and it's probably better I just start with the small. That's what I would recommend. Just do it today, right now. Think of somebody who you can do it to. And before you're done listening to this podcast, just go and execute that step. I did this yesterday. I came 8 hours of meetings, and I'm just like, just pause to say, acknowledge the person who led the whole thing and administrated it all. I'm just like, that was amazing. Great job. You made my life really, what could have been hell, you made it just heavenly. Thank you.
Yeah. So pause, because we'll be right here, because that's how digital media works in the 21st century. But go find one person. I think that is an excellent place, because it can all snowball from there. Like you said, you know, start with one person, start with a walk, whatever it is. If you would like to share any of that, I mean, obviously you can leave a review and share, you know, how that went. Email me, Kenny@kennylang.com. I don't think I have an official email for this podcast yet. I should probably work on that. Jonathan, if people like the words coming out of your face and would like more of it, or to connect with you, where would you direct them?
LinkedIn's a great place, just for professional networking. So it's Jonathan D. Reynolds. Apparently my name is really common. So after reading a book, the publisher was really adamant on me announcing the D in there every single time. So there you go. That's where that came from. I'm like, they even asked me to change my name. I'm like, change my name. So weird. Anyway, so they can find me on LinkedIn that way, or any of your social media platforms is fine. Or you can hit me up at jonathan.reynolds@titustalent.com, and we'll begin some dialogue there. So yeah, it's
always and if somebody wants to check out your book, Right Seats, Right People, which again I give a wholehearted recommendation. It's blowing my mind so far, and I'm marking it up like crazy. And I'm not just saying that because he's on the call. Where can people go and get your book?
The antagonist in me, I want to start testing you. All right, what have you actually
I
read?
Really like page 7, paragraph 3, line 6, where you said, and it was just that the way that you paused there.
Oh my gosh. The one I had a run in with the publisher was I talked about a terrible hire I'd made and how I went totally against all my own advice. I went against my leadership team's advice. I said, trust me, I'm a visionary. You don't understand. We're going to make this hire. And within 30 days, I had to fire this guy. And he didn't report to me. They said, you hired him. You're going to fire him. And I'm like, fine. So I fired the guy. And in the book, I said, we'll call him Jeremy because that was his name. And the publisher was not happy. And they said, no, you can't write that. I said, yeah, I can. And I said, he stole the laptop. His name in there. I said, you should just be thankful I don't have his last
right.
name in
so
there.
So if
okay?
you find a Jeremy anyway, with a 2014 MacBook Pro, no.
Amazon, hop on Amazon, Right Seats, Right People. It's great. Very, very easy read. It's a leader's guide to hiring and developing top performers. So. There you go. Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Well, Jonathan D. Reynolds, thank you so much for joining me, and I hope to have you back again in the future.
Sure. Thanks, Kenny.